The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time looking at the action coming up on Sunday the 21st of January. Newcastle's been abandoned unfortunately due to inclement weather conditions in the northeast, but Fontwell and Chelmsford still to keep us entertained on the British front with third. There's a nice card over in Ireland, and you've got Kevin O'Malley and John Budden in the William Hill Racing Radio studio from 1 o'clock to take you through all the day's action. We'll have commentaries on those races as well, of course. But to look ahead to some of that action coming up on Sunday and to look back on some of Saturday's fare as well, my name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by James Millman. Hello, James, how are you?
Very well, thank you, John.
Good, good. You had a good start to your 2018?
Yeah, no, not a bad start. Happy enough.
Excellent.
Quit my job as a lawyer and back to racing full time, so all is good in the world.
What are you up to in racing?
Just a bit of Will Hill, a bit of For Racing UK. Hopefully get my dad out when the flat season gets going in April, which isn't that far away, is it?
No,
really?
It creeps up, doesn't it?
We're keen for Cheltenham, etc., but only a couple of weeks after that, Doncaster and the turf gets going, which is great stuff.
We cannot wait, and we can't wait for all the great jumps action, of course, coming up as well over the next few weeks. So we'll start off by looking at Sunday, James. We've got your nap and your next best selections for Sunday's action. We'll start off with your next best, build it up a little bit. Where's your MB runner?
Oh, we're going next best. Well, that'd be the 3:55 at Chelmsford. And that is Bahamian Heights for Robert Cowell and Jonathan Fisher, taking off £7. This horse, he is a little bit tricky, can completely blow the start, which you'll know your fate pretty shortly. But when he does break well, he's been in good form. And generally, actually, his last five starts, he's won two, second twice, and then he finished fifth on the other one. And that one wasn't a bad effort. So generally, he's in very good form. Still well handicapped off his old form. He's beaten one of his rivals, Svendab, who'd been in great form himself, winning three of his last four. He's due to run today, actually, is Svendab at Chelmsford in the 6:15 this evening, so interesting to see how he gets on. But I just thought Bahamian Heights, because of that recalcitrantness at the gates, you do get a bit of value if he does it on a going day, because generally he's there or thereabouts. That's for Robert Cowell. The main dangers in the race will be the other ones that are pretty consistent. That's Come On Dave, the 9-year-old, has got plenty of course distance form, as well as Classic Pursuit. Mick Appleby obviously thinks he's a little bit high in the handicap, but he's going to use the £5 claim of Kevin Lundy. And the one at the top could be interesting, George Dryden dropping in grade and got a very good 7-mile claimer in Jason Watson. But it's a race where there's quite a few question marks. Obviously, Chelmsford is a replacement fixture as such. It was only put on, I think, on Tuesday, so nobody's had this meeting in mind long term, which I do think can be key, because it's very much a pop it in and see what the race is like. You've not planned it at all, so I'll say there's no gambles been planned for a while in this, and this can be open competitive racing. But Bahamian Heights, I think he's pretty consistent if he gets the breaks, and Jonathan Fisher gets on very well with him, so he's my next best bet of the day.
Bahamian Heights, you were talking about how he's been in good form recently. Only been on the first two and one of his most recent five starts. That came on his only occasion on those five starts, stepping up to Class 4 company. Would you be the sort of person who reads a lot into the class where a racer horse runs into and how that impacts on their form?
It is normally. Bahamian Heights himself was a very classy horse back in the day. He used to run in Class 2, Class 3 races. So for him, I'm not too concerned, because he has got that bit of back class. Obviously, it is important, because I think you can certainly carry weight in a lower grade, as seen by Spare Parts, who runs at Chelmsford this evening. Obviously, recorded it before Saturday's race, and that one has been running a mock in Class 7, Class 6 contests for Phil McEntee. Won four in a row and second at Chelmsford on Thursday evening, making hay while the sun shines, because this one's rated 68, but because of the vagaries of the rating system, can still run in 0-55s, and it's carrying 10-11, which you'd say, oh, you can't win off that kind of weight. But for me, I think carrying weight is a lot less important than what class you're in. So, like I say, normally I would be a massive take that into account. But just because of the nature of the horse, it's not class that beats him. It's himself as such. And obviously, he does enjoy himself in easier grade. but this isn't a particularly competitive class four, to be honest.
So Bohemian Heights then is your next best selection. What about your nap, James?
We're going to go Theo's Charm at Fontwell. Obviously going to be very hard work there, soft, heavy in places, and with the festivals coming up, this 0-140 handicap, those at the higher end of the ratings could arguably be going to Cheltenham for the handicap, sneaking at the bottom of the weights, and they may well be missing this type of contest. It was actually a reasonably weak one for the money. And Theo's Charm has been running in much better races than this, and also been running over fences, but things haven't really gone to plan. He got brought down at Ascot two starts back and seemed to knock his confidence when disappointing at Sandown over fences last time. But earlier, he finished at a cracking third on heavy ground behind Sam Spinner. Yes, he was beat 22 lengths, but that form has been massively boosted.
I think Sam Spinner won by about 21 and a half of those lengths.
Yeah, he was second to the Dutchman, so he finished second. But it was still a very, very strong competitive handicap. Le Rocher finished seventh on that occasion. He's gone on to win a few chases. The World's End was eighth. So that was a really, really decent effort. Strong form. This is much, much easier. It loves heavy ground. And the cherry on the top of the cake as such, James Bowen, star rider of the year. He's only 16 years old, but rides like someone much wiser. That £5 claims gold dust, taking him off top weight. And there's not really that much of a progressive opposition in the field. So he is my nap for tomorrow. Theo's Charm for Nick Gifford and James Bowen in the feature race at Fontwell.
I was going to say, James, did you just sort of, you know, open the programme and go, right, what's James Bowen riding tomorrow? That can be the nap.
Yeah, you can certainly keep an eye on what he's riding. And he is very, very good. And also, I don't think they're letting him ride in every single race. I think they are mindful of that claim, because just having a little look at the card, he's only got a couple of rides there. And they're in the two most valuable races of the day, a 11 grand race and a 9 grand race. I think they are just making sure he doesn't waste it as such in your low grade minimum value races. And that is important, because it doesn't matter who you are, once that claim disappears, it's quite important to keep it. I think Bryony Frost as well, they're having a similar outlook on that, because
she's just ridden the winner at
Taunton, but she's very rarely riding in the week. Obviously Paul Nichols' horses are having their little break from Flu Jazz, but I think he's very keen to ensure that the claim's saved for his good horses in the big handicaps, where ultimately it makes a difference. We've seen Bryony not have numerically as many winners as some of the other conditional jockeys, but they've been big races, big Saturday races, and that's what people remember.
Well, as we mentioned, we are recording this during Saturday's racing. We haven't really had any of the big races yet at time of recording, so to speak, James. But there's quite a lot of Grade 2s going on today, and there's been some decent action going on both at Haydock and at Ascot. We've had the Alpcar Novices Chase at Haydock. Testified, justified, odds on favouritism to win that one. It was supposed to be a three-horse race. It was only a two-horse race for most of the way around. Positively, Dylan falling early on. And Testified's done it quite nicely in the end.
Yeah, it did indeed. As three, Donna McCain's individual over fences. Now, deserved to win like that, because he had the class angle over Lakeview Lad. I think it was 19 lengths behind him when they ran a couple of weeks ago, and 7 lengths. So obviously you could argue Testified a little bit disappointing. They didn't beat him by further, but wasn't asked a serious question by Will Kennedy. Knew he was always going to win once Positive Dylan, who was the main rival, came down. Didn't learn a great deal. No, he goes on heavy ground. Jumped satisfactory enough. Things will be harder against the Irish horses and some of the better Southern Raiders, but that's 3 from 3 for him.
There was a Grade 2 Novices Hurdle 35 minutes later. Its first flow won impressively by 10 lengths for David Bass and Kim Bailey. Were you impressed? Well, I think you've probably got to be impressed with this horse and the way he's won this race.
Very impressed, John, because typical Kim Bailey and mate. Didn't show a great deal on bumpers, a couple of fourths. Just had that for experience, but brought along steadily. The six-year-old, he's 3 from 3 over hurdles. Wins at Lingfield. Very impressive at Newbury last time out, and built on that again in a competitive Grade 2, where 5 of the field have won last time out, and the other one was Midnight Shadow, who's been running in some very strong contests. So, strong form. Obviously, the concern for him come festival time, his form is all on soft, heavy ground, and it's hard work at Haydock today. He handled it very, very well. Is he going to be as effective on quicker ground? We don't know, but he's a very, very nice horse for the future.
Meanwhile, there's also been graded action at Ascot, with a mare's hurdle, the Warfield, traditionally the Bajar Ra, won it by 16 lengths in the end, and the odds-on favourite never really look like losing. You really knew who the winner was going to be all the way around, James.
Yeah, she won how she should have done on ratings, but I was a little bit wary of backing her at a short price because she had no real good form on soft ground, as she was favourite for the Mayor's Bumper at Aintree when she disappointed on soft ground, and she's just scrambled home over being on soft ground. So for me, I was a little bit concerned that the ground might blunt because it's hard work at Ascot today. However, she travelled like a dream around the outside on slightly better ground, so that was a decent effort. Again, no Irish horses came over for the Mayor's race today, so it was a pretty weak contest, and the Irish have such a strong hand in that division. But she's probably the best of the UK runners. Working with Kevin O'Malley, he was edging towards the actual stayers' hurdles. Obviously, she won over 3 miles today, and it's only 2.5 the Mayor's race. And I think Apples Jade, she won't beat Apples Jade, pretty simply.
She's into 12-1 for the Mayor's hurdles. She goes on all kinds of ground, so the likely better ground of the festival shouldn't be a
massive in favour for her. But I think they just lack the class, the English mares, compared to it's three from Ireland.
Is there no chance that Apples Jade could not go for this race? Room Mag,
there's always a chance because I think she's entered for both, isn't she?
Yeah, she's entered for the champion and the stayers.
But every single time Gordon Elliott is asked, she is going for the Mayor's Hurdle. There's no, we'll wait and see till Cheltenham comes, which William Mullins does kind of keep as a backup. He never ever gives a concrete objective. This is Appleshay's objective. I think she won it last year. They're keen to keep her in it. She could go for either stayers or champion, and I think she'd win there.
I know it's a different trainer, but I still have trust issues after Votor and the Gold Cup a few years.
But an owner's prerogative is they can run it in whatever race they want to run it in.
But it was on that occasion, it was the owner and the trainer were both saying if he runs at the festival, he'll run in the Gold Cup repeatedly, and they changed their mind 2 days before.
They did, but it's a tough one, because obviously for the good of racing, you want those targets clear, especially for those the dabbling in the anti-post market. But as an owner, that is your prerogative, as you're entered in these races, and these connections certainly keep options open because they're generally entered in everything. I remember Vroom Vroom Mag, I think, was entered in every single race at the Cheltenham Festival that she could possibly go in. Chasing, hurdling, loads of options.
Maybe not the
last
champion
year.
Bumper.
Yeah, exactly. Anything she's eligible for, she was in. And when you've got so many horses, you might get an opening that you need a runner in that race, or that race is weakened due to non-runners, etc. So it's tricky to have the right thing. Obviously, for anti-race planners, you want that target, and you don't want to sway from that target. But we've seen Finian's Oscar, his target could well have been changed going towards the stayers' hurdle now after not taking to chasing. Yeah, at the start of the season, you really wouldn't have thought that was going to happen.
Talking about an owner's prerogative moves us along nicely to the topic of discussion we got today for the podcast. That's all about wind operations, James. As of yesterday, as we record this on Saturday, the horse had to be declared the first run after having had wind surgery, having had it. It's good to have you here as someone who, you know, works in racing more close up to the animals as opposed to sort of journalists and pundits who sort of have their own opinion but might not have so much of an insight knowledge.
No, definitely.
Generally, are you in favour of this change or are you against it?
From a punting point of view, probably yes. It's quite handy to know. Having any information you can get is a bonus. The thing is, for me, having worked in racing, I know that wind surgery doesn't actually work that well very often. Nearly all jump horses will have probably a wind op at some stage, especially those in the care of the bigger trainers. It's kind of a bit of a routine kind of thing. It doesn't always work as such. Some horses obviously will improve because you increase the airways, etc., helping the breathing, and they can obviously run much better. And any information now in the punter's domain, and they can use it. For me, it's probably not a massive deal breaker as such. We had four run yesterday. I think one showed improved form, but again, it was only its second start, so it might have run better anyway.
And none of them won.
Yeah, none of them won. It's there. It's information's there. For me, I wasn't that massively pro for it, just because I know how often it doesn't work. And the slight concern I have is the fact it's very hard to detect, because unlike a gelding operation or unlike headgear where it's wearing it, you can obviously see if it's got the headgear on. But unfortunately, with a wind op, there's not much evidence of it unless you scope it, and it does make it a little bit tricky because some people might decide not to declare it. like I say, the information's there. I think people will be quite surprised at just how many horses have a wind up in their careers at some point, because obviously we're midway through the season, so most horses won't be having a wind up now. It'll be in the summer break, and you'll find when they come back from the autumn, there'll be a lot of horses that have got WS next to their name. Various different wind operations as well. There's about five different types. We've only got a standard blank WS in the paper. It's going to be tricky to see if it works or not, but it'll be very interesting to see what the stats say, because I think a lot of owners will be quite surprised at how often it doesn't work.
You mentioned headgear and gelding operations there. Could the same argument not be applied to both of those things? I would argue especially gelding operations. Not particularly often that the headgear is put on, the operation is carried out in terms of gelding a colt, and it shows massively improved form.
Yeah, gelding them obviously makes them easy to handle, and generally any moderate colt gets gelded because they've got no future of stallion, and just makes them easy to handle. It doesn't particularly always see an improvement performance, because generally they all get done. But the thing is, the vet can very easily check to see if it's had a gelding operation or not, whereas a wind surgery, it isn't. And you'd be surprised how many horses get to the races and trainers have forgot to mention to Weatherby's that it's been gelded, and you'll see trainer gets a £100 fine or whatever it is.
You see it in steward reports all the time, don't
exactly.
You?
Yeah. So that's something that's quite big, and trainers forget. So there's going to be quite a few horses that might just pass them by. But like I say, it's interesting. More information is not a bad thing for punters, is it? I think punters like as much information as possible. Is it ultimately necessary? I'm not entirely sure. We'll find out more. I'm not massively against it, but I'm not massively desperate for it either.
To an extent, it's probably one of those things you've just got to see what impact it has, not only as punters or as, you know, as from my angle, for example, as someone who doesn't work closely with horses, learning about the effect it might have or not have on horses' performance, but also the impact it could have on markets.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of horses that are backed, the owner knows it's had a wind up, the yard knows it's had a wind up, and that might be the reason why it's been backed. And you can see first thing in the morning that horse has been off for 3 months, it's had a wind up, and you can probably see why it might have been backed. Might give you a reason. I think it's actually been a horse that there will be winners that have had the wind up just because they probably would have won anyway.
Yeah.
But I'd say it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'd say I'm not massively for or against, but I think the stats might show that it might put a few people off spending money on the operation, because I'd say it's not always that successful.
Brilliant. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that works out over the next few months. And, of course, you can tune into William Hill's Racing Radio. Find out how those horses who have had wind operations have been running, with live commentary on every race in Britain and some races over in Ireland as well. James, thanks for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast.
No worries.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.